Lead us in the pledge, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Get a motion to approve the July 9 and July 22 meeting minutes?
So moved.
Any questions, comments, changes? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. No grievances, Jen? Nope. Moving on to Scott.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Morning.
So this morning, I'm here to ask to make an award for our RFP we put out in May for our insurance brokerage services. I sent you guys an overview. I hope everyone got it. Kind of wrapping up our whole process. We put it out in May. It was closed June 20th. We had a total of six respondents, which I think is pretty good, including our incumbent. It was all done not because our incumbent agent who takes care of us has done a poor job. It's just I felt it was time. Our contract came up the end of this year. It's a five-year contract. I think it's worth looking. And through this process, thanks Chris Brewer and I had spent some time looking at all the respondents and narrowed it down to both of us coming up with the same conclusion that we'd like to move our business and award this RFP to a company called, it's Gallagher, but it's Arthur J. Gallagher. We use Gallagher for our benefits here for the county. They're a great company. They're large. They bring a whole lot of, you know, there's so many things they bring to this, you know, to the county that we are not getting from our current agent. So I think it's a positive overall. You know, insurance is interesting. Scott had a good question yesterday that I responded to and hope you all saw that. You know, we put out this, it's really looking for a broker who can service the county, not just insurance, I think is the last part of it. You know, we want risk management, loss control, all kinds of services that these brokers can bring. Because everybody can take our information and go to a carrier and all come up with the same price. We pay the premium to the carrier. All the agents get paid commissions direct from them. So we don't pay anything to a, you know, to a broker, an agent, any type of fee or commission. So it was a good process. It really, I think we're going to be in a great spot with Gallagher long term. So.
Questions?
Who is the next most competitive after Gallagher?
So there's another company called One Group out of Syracuse. Between One Group and Haler Fire Coon, our current agent, both came in, you know, with the same kind of scores. We use the same score sheet for everyone. You know, in the insurance market, there's a lot going on. All these agencies are now getting bought up by larger groups. So agencies are getting consumed by large agencies and becoming larger and larger. You know, Haler, our current agent, got bought out 4 years ago. They're no longer small. They're part of a large group. One Group's a, you know, they're a great company. I've known them. They just weren't quite where I think Gallagher can help us a lot more. So,
yeah.
What is the term of this?
It's a 5-year contract. Yep. So it'll start January 1, go 5 years. And then, you know, we can, you know, we'll take a look at it before that's up, review it, see if we need to do this process again or not. So,
any other questions?
What
favor?
What kind of expense or what kind of challenges are we going to have switching over?
Really none. It's kind of an easy process. One of the things we'll do once we get full approval, it starts in January, but we're going to probably move to probably do a broker change before that with our business, so that we can move it to Gallagher sooner than 1-1 long term as far as getting renewal information. There'll be no, you know, fees or no cost to the county. It will be some time on our end getting them all they need to do. You know, one of the key points too is we put an actuarial RFP out. Remember that a month or so ago? Actually, Gallagher's is one of the companies that responded. They have a division. So they're really working hard to get that set up so that once we do make a transition, I think it's going to open our eyes to a lot of the markets that we did not have before. So I think it's going to be a savings for us. It's also going to put us in a better light with some carriers that we've not had, you know, a chance to do before. So
thank you.
Yep.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Great. Thank you very much.
Jen.
Just have a contract renewal for Underberg and Kessler. That is the law firm that handles all of our federal litigation and most of the county's torts. The contract is up. It was a 5-year contract. The prior contract was at $235 an hour. They're asking for an increase to $305 an hour.
So, Jen, I don't have a problem with the attorney's fees. I think those are pretty reasonable. I did see the paralegal's fees were rather high on that.
It's not much. Well, their prior was $150 an hour, so it is a $35 an hour increase.
Yeah, and that, when was that originally quoted, that $150?
That was 2019.
So that was a while.
Yeah.
Okay, they're out of Rochester?
Correct.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, they're right by the federal courts, so yeah, saves the travel. And
we've used this firm since I've been here for these matters, and they've always served us well.
Yeah, they've been on some torts that are 10, 12 years old at this point that are still out there. So,
okay. I'll make the motion then.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Next up, Andy.
Good morning. I just had two items. The first one is the award of the quarterly copy paper bid. We received two bids. This was done in July. Contract Paper Group at $32.97 and WB Mason at $31.04. So obviously we'd recommend to WB Mason. They're our most common vendor for paper. It's exactly the same price as it was 3 months prior to that. 2023, we're at $41 a carton, so we're still better shape than we were a year ago.
I'll move it. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
The only other item I had was to ask for authorization to have the county surplus auction again. The last time we had an auction, we're contracted through RTI, which is out of Groveland. The last time we had an auction was in May. We did 15 items and we took in about 70, bear with me one moment, get the figures here, 76,179. So, since we've gone to them, I think we've done really well. Pricing is quite a bit higher than what we've gotten before, especially on the plow trucks. Public Works is kind of requesting we do this. We have 4 more plow trucks that we need to get rid of, and they just don't weather well as far as sitting around rust-wise, and batteries go dead. We've got 3 sheriff's vehicles and approximately 6 other vehicles and a lot of miscellaneous stuff from Public Works. As long as RTI can accommodate us, we'll plan on having it September 17th, and it runs about a week.
Do we have an ongoing contract with them?
Yes, we do.
Okay. I'll make the motion then.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carries.
All righty. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy. Wendy.
Okay. This is the annual request for approval of the RPSV4 fees. This is the software that the assessors use and we use for tax roll processing, assessment roll processing, and so on. The state fee, Office of Rural Property fee, they have stated will not change until the new system is implemented. So unless the parcel count goes over the range, those won't change. So none of those have changed. And we have the $200 county support fee.
So moved.
Second.
Questions?
Is the $200 support fee, has that been standard since we've been using this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else?
When will a new system be available?
That's a good question. The state is hoping to they've done some demonstrations to assessors, a few, hoping to do some pilot testing in 2025. Probably won't be until 2026. It's going to be an online cloud-based system. Mm. So a lot of work.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thank you. Again.
Good morning. One quick change that I do have to our items. We would like to remove the OFA items just for further review and potentially bring them back next month. The other is, can we do Kathy's items first? She has an appointment she needs to get
sure.
to.
Sure.
So for that, we have two items. The first one, we would like to reclassify a vacant senior account clerk position to CSEA grade G, and we would like to place that into the senior account clerk typist, CSEA grade I.
I'll move it.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Second one is to reclassify a vacant supervising support cashier position, CSEA grade G, to a supervising clerk position, CSEA grade J.
I'll move it.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries.
Okay, then back at the top, for the law department, we would like to appoint a paralegal assistant above midpoint granted at the management grade D, step 12.
Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay, public defender. They've got four. Create one full-time senior assistant public defender position. That's going to be a management grade K position title grade salary.
I'll make the motion.
I do have questions on these ones. This is going to kind of be a bundle. I looked and we've got four.
You want to second it first?
Yeah, I'll second it. I looked and I see that there's four existing vacancies in the public defender. I don't think that's an exorbitant amount, but we are looking at creating two additional positions. So that would put the vacancies up to six. Are we hiring to fill these vacancies immediately, or what's going on?
We are. And in fact, as we stand here today, I don't have any vacant attorney positions.
Okay.
We just filled two very recently. And so via the Harrell Herring contracts, years 6, 7, and 8, we're required to create these two new positions in order to satisfy their requirements. I believe in terms of support staff, all I'm missing is one case manager, which the exam has been issued. They've taken it. We're just waiting for the results in the list. So I'll be able to fill that off of that. And I do believe we have a vacant typist position. That list was quite limited, if not decimated the last time I looked at it. So we'll wait for the next exam on that. So we're pretty well actually set in terms of employees.
So if we approve these, then we'll have two vacancies for attorneys and two vacancies for support staff.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any state funding for those?
Yes.
Yeah. These are essentially 100%.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. Next one, create one part-time assistant public defender position, management grade J.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay, we are requesting to reclassify one vacant assistant public defender position, management grade J, and reclassify that to the senior assistant public defender, management grade K.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I think we need a couple more votes.
Sorry.
Motion carries.
Last one for public defender.
Just ask a question.
Then. Go ahead, Bill.
Sean, you have people to fill those positions?
Not these new ones yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I just finished filling up the ones that we had leading up to this point. So,
Okay. And the last one for Sean, appoint a senior assistant public defender above the midpoint to management grade K, step 11.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean. Okay. And then we have three for community services. We would request to create three full-time social work assistant positions, CSEA grade H.
And as a reminder from Human Services, these positions, we have typically contracted for the services, but due to the challenges that we have for recruiting for those versus being county positions, I had that conversation with Mr. Swackhammer earlier in the hall that if you look at headcount, across, we're not, if you combine contract versus, if you combine contract and county staff, we're not significantly increasing anything. It's just converting from contracting for the services to bring them in-house. And as we've talked about over the past 3-4 years, I think this trend will continue. We have some benefits as well. It makes the management of the of those services much more straightforward since they are our staff, and we feel that we can recruit and retain better because of state retirement, health insurance, all of those things.
So moved.
Second.
Jack, are we still sitting at the 10 vacancies that we had the last time you gave us a vacancy report? Because I'd rather see these reclassified to fit individual needs than create four additional positions if we're sitting at 10 vacancies.
So we are sitting at, yeah, approximately 10 vacancies still. We do not have, let me confirm. For these first, we do not have any vacant social work assistant positions. And we are currently contracting for these services. So my concern would be we'd have to reclassify something like a staff social worker down to a social work assistant, but we're actively recruiting for some of those staff social workers. So if we're successful in getting them, we wouldn't have those positions available to hire social workers because we'd reclassify these positions.
What's our projection? Are we actually going to fill these positions? Because I know we're having issues hiring, and I don't see why we're going to add positions that have to, I assume these all have to go through social service exams. Is that right?
Some do, some don't. Staff social worker is a license. Social work assistant is, I think that's a test.
That's a test.
That's a test. We feel that we'll be able to do that. Staff social worker and a lot of the clinical positions, and Orly is here, are license-based. So if you possess a license and have the requisite amount of experience, you can be appointed to that. But I would say for the vacancies, since your last report, we have filled two staff social workers. So we are making some progress there. Now maybe the receptionist and senior clerk, you know, there's a couple of those other positions that I'm looking at that we might have a little more difficulty because those are tested positions. The tests aren't that deep. But for the clinical positions, I have a feeling that we are much more likely to be able to fill them than the others.
So the full-time social worker assistant position it's not a licensed position, though, correct?
Correct. Those would be tested.
And how many positions do we have that are requiring that test that are unfilled?
We do not currently have any county staff social work assistants within that department that are vacant. We have a principal social work assistant, which is like a senior, but we currently have none of those. So that's why we would like to do that and bring that from contracting from those services into actually having the positions ourselves, kind of like the last conversation. And again, the cost differential is negligible at this point.
Yeah, it's not so much the cost I'm concerned about. If a difficulty hiring, part of that is because of the social service exam. And then we're going to be adding positions that require that social service exam versus when we're hiring out, they don't have to go through the social service exam, correct?
If we're contracting for the services, they don't necessarily need to, but we get a sense, and we have seen this, the times that we have done this is a lot of times the people who are in those contract service positions want to transfer over, and we do have the ability to promote them or to appoint them provisionally prior to the exam. Now they would have to place within, you know, a certain spot, but we won't have to wait for that test to come. And
so are these positions, do we have people that are waiting in the wings to become provisional?
It's a lot easier to hire for these positions than licensed positions. We also have a waiting list, client waiting list for these positions to, so once we get them filled, we have clients that will also be helped.
Yeah, because I don't mind creating additional positions if we have people waiting in the wings to fill them. I am concerned that we're creating positions we don't need if we have a bunch of vacancies.
Yeah, so because the vacancies aren't the same, like if we were adding 5 more staff social workers where we just filled 2, thankfully, but we might have trouble filling more, I'd say that from my perspective would be a little more of a concern. But for these, I think we'll be able to fill them pretty quickly.
Okay. All right.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Curious.
If you'd like to.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
Brian, I think the point is we don't create positions because we have people available. We create positions because we need them. We need the positions because we have the need for the work.
Sure, I get that. But if we have vacancies, I would rather reclassify those, get those filled.
If they're
and then
the same,
we can always
if
look
they're in
to
the same job title.
Exactly. That's why I was asking those questions. But I don't want to just be creating positions because I don't think we've ever eliminated positions, at least.
We don't eliminate positions.
Exactly. And that's why I want to be more cautious creating positions.
We have unfunded positions.
What we do, we never eliminate them because we don't know what the need's going to look like 10 years from now. But we do actively zero base. So in a couple of weeks when we meet with Oralee and Lynn on their budget, if there's positions that are in Kathy and all the other departments, if there's positions that, because we're going to need some help in this budget, if there's positions that we actively know that we're not going to fill, we'll take a strong look at those. Yes, we do, as we talk about, carry some funded vacant positions that we know we're not going to fill all of them to help us hedge against the unknown from a budget standpoint. But to that point, we do and have zero based. If we know either specifically if the need has gone away, we do zero based positions or to help balance the budget.
Okay.
Okay. Last item is request to create 1 senior alcohol and substance abuse counselor position. That's a CSEA grade K.
I'll move it.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Here is the second item.
Did I skip one?
Yeah.
I think yeah.
Sorry
yeah.
about that. I was just, I check marked it.
Yeah.
The reclassification.
For the seniors.
Do we want to finish the senior first?
Yeah. Go ahead and do the seniors. Yeah.
Okay. So request to reclassify 2 vacant staff social worker positions. They are CSEA grade Ls to 2 senior social worker positions, CSEA grade O.
So moved.
Second.
Questions? Go.
The difference between a staff social worker and a senior social worker, master's degree and experience, am I right?
Experience.
Just experience?
Yeah.
So
also duties.
A master degree is not needed for a senior.
Oh, yes, it is.
It is.
Okay. But not for a staff.
Everybody needs a master's for a staff social worker or senior.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it easier to fill a senior social work position? So that's why you reclassify and be able to draw. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Curious. Thank you.
Jack.
Gary.
What's the overall general cost that we've just done?
I think so.
Put me on the spot, Gary.
What's the percentage? About 60% reimbursement, or is it
for social services? 60% reimbursement. Community services, all of those positions. KSACs can bill, right?
Yes.
Yep. So all those positions can bill insurance. So I don't want to say 100%, but you know, we have a waiting list. So if we can fill them, they're billable. Public defender is 100% reimbursed by the state, and law department is a negligible in actually. Oh, it actually goes down a little bit. So actually you save money today, Gary.
You happy? Gary's happy.
No.
So we have a waiting.
Yeah.
What do you do with those people who are waiting but don't have any people helping them?
Can you put your microphone on?
So the case management positions, the social work assistants, they have a waiting list. We don't have we have some waiting lists for the county for staff social worker because we're short on clinical staff. But they typically try to go to outside the county to get hooked up. And at times sometimes those people who work with the case managers outside of the county don't know our services. So we really want to keep that in-house as much as possible.
But they're getting help somehow.
They're getting help somehow, but we do have waiting lists. So everybody's short staffed, as everybody knows. So there are some people who are on a waiting list, and I can't give you a number at this point what that is.
Thank you.
In the past, we've had issues with receiving the bills when people don't pay. Have we improved on that process?
It's a slow process. We have a new RF or electronic health record, and that is slow going right now with the billing section. But it's steadily getting better. So yes.
Okay.
Colleen is hot on that, let me tell you.
Thank you.
Joe.
Just a quick comment. Jack and I have spoken briefly about some of the staffing issues in community services and social services. Unfortunately, it's been like this for years. And the majority of emails that I get or phone calls I get are concerns about what's going on with community services and social services. And I know it's not a personnel issue. It's a lack of personnel issue. And I really hope we take a good hard look at that during budget, because there's got to be some big changes. Nothing is working that we've tried in the past. We've got to try something new. But, you know, to have to reach out to the county to get help is not good. It's just not good. And I lived that experience. It's not a good thing. And I know it's not your fault. I know you guys are doing what you can with what you have, but you need some help. And we really need to try to fill these positions, find a better way to do it.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have anything before we...
Yeah, one item, and it pains me to do it because I'm going to miss Jen and wish her well and her next adventures, but we are in need of to recruit a county attorney. Speaking to some of my colleagues, it is a very, very difficult position to fill, as Jen can attest, and I think as everyone knows, it's a limited pool of candidates with significant experience required. So after speaking with the chair and a few others, I've proactively want to put something in front of you. I think we could use some help of a professional recruiting service to help drum up some candidates. So I have gotten quotes, worked with purchasing, got quotes from professional recruiting services for the public sector. We received three quotes, two from the larger agencies, the larger organizations, companies that do this. Their prices were approximately $25,000 for the recruitment. The low quote was Pracademic Partners, which the quote was $18,000. I would recommend that we do that because I think we're going to need some help. Pracademic Partners has just done the recruitment in the past 2 months for the Seneca County attorney, because they were positioned. they were facing the same kind of difficulties. I think you all, this is, you know, an appointment of this committee, this board. I think some expertise, outside assistance in the process will be of great benefit. So I would recommend that, and we could, you know, it would also come with a request to transfer $18,000 from the contingent fund to, could be our budget to pay those.
Do we pay that up front or when they get us a candidate?
Pay half up front and then half when the candidate is selected.
If they don't find us one, we're just out half?
No, if they don't find us one, they keep working.
Okay.
So move.
For a second. Any questions?
That fee is actually reasonable.
Yeah.
I know when we used Recruiting at Corning, it was normally 30%.
Yeah, it's in Pracademic. I said this last time. It is run by Ian Coyle, who's the Livingston County administrator, but he won't be at the end of the year because this part, this business that he's developed is so needed that he is going to be doing this full time. So the other benefit, candidly, that you get is someone who has been in a government executive position for almost 20 years, who knows what a county attorney does, who knows what qualifications they need. So you're getting someone with a lot of experience.
Yeah, Brian, I can speak highly for Pracademic. We used him at the town of Irwin to find our new town manager and our director of economic development. So it was a great process and it was well run by Ian. He handles it personally, not anybody else.
Yeah, it's Ian doing it personally. He has not grown to the point where he's hired people yet, to my knowledge. So,
and given what's happened in the marketplace with attorneys, I would not be surprised that we are well below what a new candidate would be looking for in order to jump.
And the management, we're having a meeting this week for the management study, management salary study. So you'll have some data there. But it's like most of these positions that are, you know, in your C-suite of government positions, the pool is not what any of us want it to be. It's extremely hard to fill these positions.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Will?
Yeah. Jen, my understanding is that you do some additional stuff that other county attorneys don't do, correct? I thought
you mean in-house?
Yeah, in-house stuff.
Yeah,
and so
probably.
How are we going to deal with that situation when we're doing the search? Do we?
Not a question for me, in my opinion.
So it would be, and however you want to handle it, you know, certainly personnel in my office has that information that we can share. With Ian, if you approve this, so that when he's talking to candidates, he knows exactly what types of services and types of expertise is needed.
Yeah. Jen, can you get us a list of those in-house things before you head out, that a county attorney in other counties probably doesn't do, because if we're searching, those attorneys may not want to do those things, or, you know, should be aware of exactly what those things are,
because we might try. I mean, the statute sets forth, the county law sets forth what the county attorney must do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's your, you know, guiding light on what you have to have those skills. And then from there, for example, the big one is going to be real estate.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that some prior county attorneys did not do any of that. Well, I've done a lot in private practice, so I handled all of the real estate, everything.
Yeah.
That's a big one. So I'll see if I can narrow it down for you. But that's the big one that comes to mind, that you need somebody that's actually
hired out something.
And a lot of it will depend, that, as Jen said, under the statute, you know, her position requires her to do, but you know, Jen has handled a tremendous amount of labor issues because she has some experience in that. We do have outside labor counsel that can pick that up, but Jen's done a great job in reducing the cost because she can handle the ones that she can handle. So, you know, it'll get pretty nuanced in terms of the experience of the candidate. Maybe we find someone who has experience in real estate and can pick that up. Maybe we find someone who has good experience in labor law and they can not have us send so much to outside counsel. So I think those will be kind of
in REM's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Because some counties have county attorneys that do not handle any of the in REM process whatsoever because it's a year, it's all year long because it's title issues all year long and estate issues all year long. My understanding of that service when it's outsourced is hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, I mean, I will prioritize, but real estate and in REM on my mind would be we're going to pay very expensive for transactionally on those, but I'll get you a list.
Thank you.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you. And so I don't forget, I'm going to need that budget transfer in half an hour. appreciate it. That's it for us for open session. We do have the need for two items for executive session. One being settlement of claim.
Yep.
And
litigation.
One being personnel, financial history of particular individuals.
Motion for executive session.
A particular individual.
I'll move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Those were in executive session.
Don't move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. So we're in open session now to entertain the resolution to settle the claim in federal court.
Settlement of a multi plaintiff tort, I guess, in federal court for $215,000.
So move.
Second.
Whatever she said.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourned.
At 9:30.
Yeah.